Today's message would be called Destined to be Great. What's the title called, everybody? Destined to be Great. And today I have 3 points to share. I'm just playing around. I don't have 3 points to share. But if one of your friends asked you, why is the Bible important and why do you read it, what would your answer be? I know that it might be hard if someone just came up to you out of nowhere and asked you that question. But I know the answer for me would be, if God is our creator, God seeks to communicate to us through the Bible. And there's 2 reasons why I read the Bible. I want to find out what he thinks of me and what his plans are for me. Can you turn with me to Jeremiah 29, 11? Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29, 11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I'm reading that from the NIV, but here's the New King James Version. "I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." This is one of my favorite Bible quotes of all time. Because every time you start to wonder if God has a plan or purpose for you, this verse says that God has a purpose and plan for you. I've learned that life is full of uncertainties. Some of us try to fake it and say that we don't really care what happens tomorrow and we'll just live today. But the truth is, life is full of uncertainty and it drives us crazy. And that's why, believe it or not, the psychic industry is a recession-proof industry. I mean, it didn't take me long to Google search something interesting when I came across the headline that says, "As recession deepens, the psychic industry rises." We face uncertainty all the time in our lives. We always wonder in life how life is going to turn out tomorrow. And since we were kids, this has always been the case. I know that when you look at little children like Joseph, he's so small. And when he's running around with Daniel and David, you know, you think that, hey, I wish I was them again, because the life is so carefree. They don't have to worry about homework. They never have to worry about putting food on the table. But the truth of the matter is, they have worries of their own. Let me give you an example. When I was a kid, I couldn't sleep at all. I was so stressed out. So stressed out because it was Christmas Eve, and I was wondering what my parents got me for Christmas. If I got the right Power Ranger, the right color for Christmas. And in the morning, I was even stressed out even more. I was stressed out because I was wondering if my dad was going to whip me when he got home, because my mom had just got off the phone telling him that I was a bad boy that day. And you might be thinking to yourself, that's ridiculous. But if you ask Joseph, ask the small kid, he would think that he has a tougher life than you do, because he has his own stressfulness. And you know, you might be laughing at him, but all throughout ages, all throughout your own age level, there comes to a point where everyone has their own struggles. And when older people gives us a certain advice, you might laugh at them and shrug it off your shoulders, because you think that in your situation, you're different from them. And that somehow your circumstances, they don't understand. And that's why sometimes our young audience, we tend to shrug it off, even adults. When their parents give them advice, we tend to shrug it off because we think that, hey, that's different. And you know what? This is the sole reason why depression in high school is so predominant. It's because these emo kids walk around saying to the world, you don't understand me. I'm different. And all the time we say it to one another. But what hurts even more is when we say it to God himself, saying, you see, every generation has its own uncertainties, but God always has a plan that would give certainty. And people tend to ignore it. Now, we don't want to admit it, but sometimes we think that we're wiser than God himself. He gives us a path to walk, and we choose to walk another way. We're thinking to ourselves, we make better choices than God himself. And I know what we're saying to God, hey, God, I understand what you're saying, but you don't understand my struggles. I'm different from the others. You know, in grade school, God tells you to be patient and make good friends. But you become desperate and you tell God, if I don't join that group right there, I'm going to have no friends. And so you join the wrong group just to be popular. In high school, God says, you don't fully understand what relationships are yet. But you see all your other friends getting boyfriends and girlfriends. And you don't want to be the weird one, so you get one too. And then he or she breaks up your heart, and you ask God, why, God, did this happen to me? And when senior year hits, God wants to place you in a college that might or might not be prestigious, but it's the best college that can bring you closer to him. But you and your Asian parents stress out because you wanted to go to school that you wanted to go to. And when you're in college, God tells you, don't go to that place. Don't drink that stuff. But you say, God, if I don't drink it, I'll have no social life. No one will want to hang out with me. And when you graduate and get a job, God says, don't pick that job. It would cause you to break the Sabbath. But you do it anyhow because God, what does God know? When you pick someone to marry, and God says he or she is not the right one for you, he or she will pull you away from me, but I have a better plan from you. And you say to God, don't worry about me. I know me better than you. I can make this work. And before you know it, your marriage is in shambles. Your life is in misery. But the truth is that, and you ask God, where is he in the midst of all this? But the truth is, God carved out a path for you all along, but you chose otherwise. The truth is, sometimes life can have its stormy days. And, you know, and life can get a little rough. And it is because you're experiencing two things. The sin that you've picked, the decisions that you've made, you're now suffering the consequences of sin. The effects that you've picked. Or secondly, you're suffering from the consequences of other people committing sin. And God allows it for two reasons. God allows it for reason number one, is that he allows it to let you see the consequence of sin, how sin painfully is. And number two, for you saints out there, he lets you experience sin from other people so that he can prepare you for heaven. You know, I just had one of those rough weeks where the sin of others caused my week to be rough. And through it all, I had to throw away 3 months worth of work all down the drain in one day. And through it all, I asked God, where are you? Where were you? But when I read Jeremiah 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And when I read that verse, my spirit lifted up again. And I praised God because I know that God had predestined for me to be great. And God has destined you to be great. If you don't believe me, let's turn to Jeremiah 1:5. Let's turn to Jeremiah 1:5. You need to highlight this verse, along with my other favorite verse. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet among the nations. We were predestined to be great even before we were born. But before we go any further, I just want to set a disclosure. I don't believe in predestination like the Calvinists do. That when God creates you, before God even creates you, he determines if you're going to be in heaven or not. So no matter what choice you live, if you choose to live a bad life or good life, you still end up in whatever choice that God gave you. But I believe in predestined where before you were formed, God had carved out the best path possible for your life, to have the best life possible. But and then when you were born, God gives you the choice to either follow his path or follow your own path. But if you choose to follow his path, then let me tell you the good news that there is nothing on heaven and earth that is able to stop you from achieving greatness because God would not let that happen because he has predestined you to be great. And as Christians, we are called to be great in everything that we do. And just for, we do it for one reason only, to give God the glory. Amen? You know, some people believe that when you're a Christian, you can't be successful. That being a Christian means you have to keep the commandments of God. And if you keep the commandments of God, you can't compromise. Things like the Sabbath. If you break the Sabbath, you can never really get valedictorian of high school. If you break the Sabbath, you can never get that extra raise, that extra bump in your workplace. But what they don't see is, yes, as Christians, we were called to be faithful to God. And we were called not to compromise. But they don't understand that if we lack anything, there is a God in heaven that sits up high and looks down low to make up the difference. Amen? And the thing is that God is calling you today to be great. If you're in school, get those straight A's. You know, I received straight C's and D's all the way up to 7th grade because I never really cared. And my parents would come up to me and my family members would say, John, do good in school. Not for me, but for you. And you've heard all of that before. The thing is, if you don't value yourself that much, then you won't do great in school. So that didn't turn out right. I didn't really care what went wrong. It wasn't until I got a Christian mentor of mine came up to me. Now she's in Florida. But a Christian member came up to me and said, John, Christians don't get bad grades. So I started getting 3.5s and 4.0s right off the bat. And I encourage you to do well in school, not because your parents tell you to achieve the Asian success, so that you can be the Asian sensation. Not for yourself either, but for the glory of God. And do it in a way that never compromises God. Keep your relationship with God first and foremost. Keep your Sabbaths. And if you're working, don't just settle for an ordinary position. Be the best in your industry. Hey, and if you're a doctor, pick the highest doctor rank. And if you're struggling to be disrespectful towards your parents like I did, I was a very bad kid back then. And the thing is that the fifth commandment commanded us, honor your mother and father, not when you want it to be, but always, even if you don't like it. The only thing that exempts you from not obeying your parents and respecting them is when they cause you to not keep God's commandment. See, for the longest time, my parents didn't understand that. They thought that I was disrespecting them. But for the longest time, I told them, if you want me to be better, let me respect God first, and then I'll respect you because he commands the fifth commandment. Amen? If you're struggling health-wise, we know that in this generation, health has been such a big problem. People are getting diabetes. I remember I walk into Walmart, and I pray for those people because they're so big. I mean, big in a way that is unhealthy. Back in my days, big wasn't nothing compared to that. But now it's a whole nother level. If you're struggling with health, be great in it. Work to be great in it. I found that it was very difficult back then to be an Adventist, living the health message, and being Asian. Because the thing about Asian people is that everywhere you go, there's seafood and pork. And even at Asian weddings, it's one of the most difficult things. Difficult things. And to be honest, when I first heard the health message, I didn't give up the unclean meat right away. Because I love gugang mui. Do you know what it is? Salted crab. And I love pepperoni pizza. But I asked God to help me, and eventually, thank you. You can tell. But I asked God to help me out. And eventually I gave up those unclean foods. And you know, the thing is, that gave me one of the biggest problems ever. My family thought I joined a cult, but it turns out it wasn't, you know. But my family gave me so much trouble. They told me that if I didn't eat pork, I wouldn't have enough nutrients. And that they came so drastic that they came up to me, cooked me pork, cooked me seafood, put it in front of my face and said, if you don't eat it, then you're disrespecting us. And so I told them, you understand that I respect you and you know I respect you. But if this is the case, I'd rather disrespect you than disrespect the God in heaven for defiling my holy body. You know, and ever since then, I I only ate clean meat, but it was only recent, until recent, that I became vegetarian. I told myself that I would never become vegetarian until I was probably 50 years old when I'm retired or something like that. Because I love chicken. I love it fried. I love it baked. I love it, I wouldn't say raw, but I love it, you know? I loved it so much that I couldn't give it up. I could eat chicken every single day, just different types. Even if it was fried every single day, I'd love to eat it. And the thing is that I looked at myself and I said, no, never, I'll never be vegetarian. But here I am 2 years later and I'm still a vegetarian. And it feels so good. And there are certain days where I feel sluggish. But it comes to, I just praise God for that, because if I was still eating meat, I would be even more sluggish. And you know, God called us to be great in everything, great in Bible studies. Hey, if you're struggling and your relationship is not getting anywhere with God, don't blame it on Pastor Vin. Don't blame it on his sermons. Don't blame it on me and Vong for teaching you those boring Bible subjects, because you're liable. When you come into heaven, God will not accept that excuse. God will say, how come you didn't search it for yourself? And you know, I used to dress so ghetto-ly when I came to church that someone had to come up to me and say, John, Christians don't dress ghetto. And so it hit me like a ton of bricks, because for the longest time, I thought to myself, hey, I don't need to dress up good. They don't know what they're missing out. I don't need to prove to them. I don't need to dress good to show them that I love God. But when they came up to me and told me that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I started dressing good. We as Christians dress up for a reason. We come to Sabbath for a reason, and we dress up good for a reason, to show God and give God our best. And so I encourage you to be great in everything that we do. Greatness must be in every single part of our lives. God called us to be great in relationships. If you have husbands or wives, love them. Love them in a way that the world sees how God intended marriage to be. You know, I look in the media so much, and you see marriages being defiled. They say marriages don't work, so why not let the gay marriages happen, because they can't do any worse. But I tell you today that doesn't give you excuse to lower down the marriage standards. God set it up high so that people can live a prosperous life. And if you're not married, let God pick that person for you so that you can have a great relationship, so that you can testify that there is a great God and that he has a plan, and that his plans actually work. Listen, your spouse, your husband, your future husband and wife will determine whether or not you will be in heaven. You need to pick someone that brings you closer to God instead of pulling you further. And I know it hurts my parents and it hurts me, because one of the greatest desires that I want in my life, one of the most accomplishments, better than career, better than education, I wanted a family that ministers the word of God, to live a certain life that proves that God's methods alone can work. But I've come to a point that if God doesn't provide me with someone, I'd rather be single for the rest of my life than pick someone that would drag me to hell. And the thing is that you think that it's lightly, but I look at it from another perspective. I look at it from another perspective that I've come too far. I've come too far to sacrifice it all. I'm predestined and bound for the promised land. And I can't let anyone stand in my way. I wouldn't let my family stand in my way. I wouldn't let my wife. I wouldn't let my kids. I wouldn't even let Pastor Vin stand in my way for me to see Jesus face to face. Excellence is what God called us. I'm going to read a quote from Ellen G. White. It says, Education, page 18. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, God-likeness, is the goal to be reached. Before the student, there is an open path of continual progress. He has an object to achieve, a standard to attain, and that includes everything good and pure and noble. He will advance fast and far as possible in every branch of true knowledge. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. Amen? What that thing is saying is that you can plan for your life a great life. And the highest point that you can think or dream of, God has even a better plan or a higher dream that you can ever think of. No matter what situation you are. And you know, God has predestined for us to be great in his eyes, a great nation that ministers the word of God. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you. I encourage you that you will live lives of excellence for God. First and foremost, a life that is closer to God. And second, a life of excellence. There's too many. The world gives this misconception that Christians are bad people. Nowadays, back then, Christians used to be praised. If you were a Christian, they would praise you. But now when you're a Christian, they call you intolerant, ignorant. But the thing is, my friends, that you were called to break that myth. You were called to live a life that shows them, that wins them, that Christian life is the right life. So please stand and join me in prayer. Let's close our eyes. And I want to make a special appeal. Close your eyes, and I want to make you a special appeal, and only raise it if you're honest with yourself. The appeal is, if you're tired of living the life that you're living, and that you know you can do better, and that you want to start following God's plan that he has for you, you're saying today that you want to start what God has destined you to be great, and that you want to walk in his path. If that's your decision, I want you to raise your hand up high. Raise your hand up high. Don't raise it because I asked you to raise it. Raise it because you want to declare to God that, hey, God, I know I've lived a life, my life, that you carved me out a perfect life, but I've lived a different route. But if you forgive me, Father, I will follow that route so that I can achieve greatness, the life that you intended for me. Father in heaven, you've seen these hands up in the air, Father. Father, only you can read their heart. Only you can read their desires. First and foremost, we were placed on this earth to get closer to you. And second, Father, we were called to minister your word. Father, you called us to be excellent, to be great, because we are destined to be great before we were even conceived. So we ask that, Father, that you would just be with us, Father. And the next time that Satan tempts us, the next time that the world tempts us, Father, to pull us away from your great path, Father, give us the strength to say no. Tell them, no, we've come too far, and we were destined for glory. We pray all of this in your name we pray. Amen.